Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to talk about export controls, which govern what products U.S. companies can sell in overseas markets. The U.S. export controls regime is notorious for being quite complicated, and as you may have heard, last week, Defense Secretary Robert Gates delivered a speech where he outlined a plan for significant changes to simplify export controls here. Now, to help us understand what exactly the Secretary said and how his reforms might work, we're joined by Doug Jacobson. He is a trade lawyer with the law firm of Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg. And he is also the editor of the International Trade Law blog and our point man on questions of export control here. Doug, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
You're welcome, Matt.
First question here. We heard that Secretary Gates this week said he plans to simplify and streamline the export controls regime. But maybe if you could briefly unpack for us the details of that. What did he promise that would be happening, and how will that be an improvement over our current export controls regime?
Absolutely. Be glad to do that. A little bit of background is in order. Last August, President Obama announced that he had actually requested the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of Defense to conduct an extensive review of the current system. Mm-hmm. That review process was an interagency one, had all of the relevant players. There are numerous agencies involved in the process right now. And through this interagency process, they came up with a variety of recommended reforms, and that's what Secretary Gates announced earlier this week. Basically, he announced kind of the export control reform proposals in four broad areas. Number one, he proposed a single export control list. Right now, there are two very distinct lists. One is known as the U.S. munitions list, which covers defense articles and related technology. The other one is the commerce control list, which is administered by the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security. The problem has been is that it's very difficult to know with certainty whether a particular product is on which of the lists. In other words, which agency controls that item for export control purposes. And companies spend a lot of time. So the proposal of a single list is a laudable one and certainly could make it much easier for exporters to determine whether an export license would be required. The second major area was he proposed a single licensing agency. This is actually a very comprehensive and frankly surprising proposal that they would take these two agencies housed in two different departments right now and put them into one single licensing agency that would have jurisdiction over both the defense articles as well as dual-use items and technologies. The idea, again, is a good one. The idea would be to reduce confusion over where and how to submit an export license, to streamline the review process, and perhaps enhance the consistency in licensing approval, and ultimately for exporters to speed up the process.
Let me just interrupt.
Sure.
When you talk about combining the two agencies into one, would this be a wholly new agency, or would one existing one take point?
The devil's in the details, of course, and that was not identified specifically by the Secretary. Some of the proposals considered is perhaps make it a separate agency under the Department of Homeland Security, much like Customs and Border Protection was moved from the Treasury Department over to the Department of Homeland Security. Perhaps there could be a standalone U.S. export control agency. It could still be maintained, for example, within the Commerce Department or within the current State Department regime. That's going to be probably the most difficult one because of all the various competing interests that are very well established right now.
So, assuming that these policies all did go into effect at some point, what businesses would likely benefit from those changes the most, or would any maybe find themselves worse off?
Well, the This really would I think would benefit a wide variety of interests. The idea of, with respect to a single export control list, for example, the idea is not only to create the single export control list, but also to try to pare down the number of items that are controlled. So, for example, right now in the in certain sectors, for example, in the semiconductor sector, there are a wide variety of controls that either require an export license or other types of approvals to export an item to a particular country. The idea is, because there is foreign availability of these items in many cases, why control things that are already that there is already either production and technology already outside of the United States, some of which is actually more advanced than in the United States. The other area, of course, is the defense sector. The idea, of course, is streamlining would try to minimize and reduce the delays and burdens on companies that are involving that are involved in the defense sector. And we're not just talking about exporting an F-16 fighter, for example. We're talking about all of the parts and components that go into those aircraft, for example, all of which are separately controlled in the current regime. Now, of course, the key thing here is there's a big concern over balancing national security. Nobody is trying to, throughout this process, is trying to say, well, we're just going to decontrol everything and we're just going to let everything go. The idea here is to have higher controls over fewer items and to balance the economic arguments with the national security arguments.
So talk to us a little about the timeline for this and when compliance officers who have to worry about export control might really see something that affects their lives. It sounds like the implementation of this might take an awful long time bureaucratically.
Well, that's right. And then they've actually proposed to do this in three phases. The first phase is more of a transition process. Things that can be done through regulatory changes wouldn't require any congressional approval, for example. So, in fact, the president just a few weeks ago announced two significant changes, one to encryption, one to the definition of foreign nationals under the ITAR, that could be implemented through a regulatory change. And there's many other areas that can be done regulatory. That can be done in the next I think the timeline is in the next year. So some of those we're going to see maybe in several months through regulation. Some of them will come out, it'll be rolled out on a regular basis. The second phase is going to involve some other aspects, including the single enforcement coordination agency, for example, and a more tiered control list. That is going to be a much longer phase. I've heard anywhere between, the idea is 12 to 18 months. Finally, as far as the ultimate goal, the ultimate proposal, which is the single licensing agency, and to combine that, that's going to require congressional action. And therefore, that's much longer term, and we're talking maybe, you know, they've actually, the secretary did say he'd like to see legislation enacted by the end of this year, but given it's an election year, given all the other competing issues in Washington, export controls usually doesn't appear on the top of lists of members of Congress's biggest concerns.
And one last question then, let me sneak this in. Do you think that these changes will actually work and address a lot of the pain points companies feel right now?
Yeah, I think the short answer is yes. These are laudable goals. I certainly applaud the president and as well as the administration for taking this on. This is really something that there has been a lot of concern about in industry, and the idea here is it will have, in many ways, very positive effects on many businesses. And certainly to make this very complicated process easier is in everybody's best interest. So I think the ultimate goal is a good one. Again, we're going to have to really wait and see as far as how comprehensive these reforms ultimately entail. And there have been many efforts to reform the export control system over the years. And my feeling is that this is a very different situation than we've seen before, because you have the highest levels of the U.S. government involved. But again, we'll have to wait and see. But I think that at the end of the day, even if some minor changes are made or even medium-term changes, then that's going to be in everybody's best interest.
All right. Doug, that's all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about and covered a lot of ground, so we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're most welcome, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Doug Jacobson of the law firm Sandler, Travis & Rosenberg, and is also editor of the International Trade Law blog. He was joining us to talk about proposed changes to the U.S. export control regime. While I am on the subject, anybody listening today, if you want to hear more about export controls, you might also want to think about attending Compliance Week's annual conference in Washington, D.C. next month. That is May 24th to 26th, where we will have Rick Shimon of the Office of Export Enforcement talking about some issues like what we have covered today. You can see more about that and our full conference agenda on our website at conference.complianceweek.com. That's all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.